Good evening. Good to see all of you tonight. And praise to the Lord. Yeah. Well, how is everyone? Doing well? Abraham, good to see you. Can you please stand up? Let's take a look at you. Thank you. All right, good. Thanks. Good seeing you. Thanks. You may sit down. Thanks. Please. Thank you. Well, good to see Abraham tonight. We have been praying for you. We missed you. And glad to have you back. Good to see you. Well, we are in Psalms 119, verse 9 to 16. All right, before I start, I have a quiz. Okay. It's not from what Jeremy taught last week. I may come to that. But the quiz is this. I'm going to read some statements. You have to tell me who said this, right? If you can. Okay, the first one. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If you ask me like that randomly, I probably say David too, but yeah, this is Job. Job 23, verse 12. Okay, next one. Another statement. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words become for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words become to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Close. It's a prophet. Yeah, one of the prophets. It's Jeremiah. Sorry. Jeremiah 15, 16. Okay, sorry to put you on the spot. Apologize. This one you probably would know. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Yeah, the Lord said that in John 4:34. All right. Now, the quiz from last week. How many verses are in Psalms 119? 150? Anybody else? Counter? Yes. 176. Yeah, 176. Okay. Pardon me? What is that? Yeah. What are those 22 stands for? Hebrew alphabets, right? These 22 alphabets of the Hebrew language. So the 22 alphabets of the Hebrew language, starting from A to Tav, I think. Yeah. Aleph to Tav. A is the English counterpart. Yeah. This Psalms is, we can say, the Mount Everest of all the Psalms. It's one of the great giant of the Psalms. So as we approach this giant, you probably never heard this saying. There's a saying, how do you eat an elephant? one bite at a time. That's good. How do you climb Everest? How do you climb a mountain? One step at a time, right? So we're going to go verse by verse. We're going to reach there. We're going to some, you know, maybe 22 weeks. That's almost half a year. We'll get there. So this Psalms has 1,064 Hebrew words arranged in 176 verses, compiled into 22 sections. And another feature of this psalm is that each section starts with that particular alphabet, corresponding alphabet. That means A, B, C, you know, Aleph, Beta, Gamma, that's how it goes, Daleth. So all the first section starts with every verse in that section. Each eight verse begins with Aleph. Then the next section, Beth, starts with Beth. It's like, take the 26 alphabets of the English Bible and say that every section starts with, every verse in section A starts with A. Section B starts with B. Section C starts with C. So that's how this psalm is. So it's an acrostic, or it is a poem arranged in that way. So it's beautiful. So a challenge is, take the 26 alphabets of the English Bible and try to write a poem or something about the Word of God, starting with A. Every line in the first section should start with A. You don't have to have eight verses. You can have four verses. Start with A, then next section starts with B. See if you can come up with something, a description of the Word of God in that way. A, B, C, D to Z. Then every section starting with A, B, C, and every line starting with A. That's a challenge. Maybe if you are up to it, you can try it. Maybe if we have enough people, maybe at the end of the study, we can maybe dedicate 1 week to recite our poems. Let's see how that goes. Anyway, so Psalms means praises. The book of Psalms can rightly be called the book of praises. So we are in 9 to 16. Jeremy did a great job last week introducing the psalm and also going from verse 1 to 8. Let's read verse 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless our study. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be in your presence. Lord, your word is so precious. You gave it to us, your word. It is God's word. Help us to treasure it. Help us to read it, study it, memorize it, recite it, meditate on it, rejoice in it, apply it in our lives. May your word be the guide, the director, and leader of our lives. Help us now as we study. Teach us. Speak to our hearts. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I should have tried what you did last week, Jeremy. I should have asked everybody to pick up. You know, this is about the Word of God, right? Psalm 119. It is about the Word of God. So it is repetitive. As we go through this, we can see the synonym for word of God is repeated. Many phrases are repeated. So we see the word of God. It's a song about the word of God. We don't know when it was written. We don't know who wrote it. Many things, David wrote it. But we don't have any definite evidence for that. Many things, Daniel wrote it. Something Moses wrote it. Some people think a dedicated Hebrew, maybe a priest or a Levite, wrote it. He made a journal in his life, maybe in exile time, kept it, going through affliction, going through discouragement, difficulties, kept a journal about the word of God, how he loved the word, read the word, meditated the word, memorized the word. And at the end of his life, he just laid down everything he wrote in his journal. So it is, at the end we can see it is it's an application. Let me see, where's my notes? Reflecting in his relationship with God, relationship only because God revealed himself to his people through his word. So we can see his word is mentioned, as Jeremiah mentioned last time, in most of every verse we can see the word, the statutes or the decree or commandments or testimonies, or all those words are used. So I'm going to read one more time. I want you to pick up the word at this time, the synonym for the word, all right? Like we did last time, you yelled it out. So let me start. How can a young man keep his way pure by keeping according to your word? With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances, that's what my translation says, of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. So we can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 times the synonym for word is used here. In verse 9, 11, and 16, the word is used in my translation. And verse 10, the commandment is used. Verse 12 and 16, the statutes are used. Then verse 13, the ordinances are used. Verse 14, the testimonies are used. And 15, the precepts are used. And again, 15, the ways, your ways are used. Then, so those 10 times they are used in these 8 verses. And those 8 terminology or synonym for the word of God can be found in most of the Psalms. There are a few more: judgments, decree, law, promises, faithfulness, righteousness, appointments, justice. So I counted all these as synonym for the word of God. As I did the study, maybe I missed one or two, I don't know. But so 14 different terms are used for the word of God. But I'm not going to focus on the terms here. Jeremy gave a general idea last week. I'm going to focus on the verb in verse 9 to 16. So they are like keeping, verse 10 says, sought, wander, treasured, or teach. I have told of, then rejoiced, meditate, regard, delight, forget. I'm going to use all those, the verbs or the responsibilities of the psalmist, as well as our responsibility. So that is what I'm going to focus on. Now, the question is this. The first question is, there's one question in this passage. The question is this. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's the question. How can a young man keep his path pure? How can a young man live a clean life? How can a young man stay pure? Now, let me ask you, what are some of the questions young people ask? We have some young people here. I was young once. I still feel young. We were all young once. What are some of the questions we ask while we were young? We are starting our life, our inception of our life, beginning of our life. Yes, Dad. Yeah. So you are saying that is what the psalmist is asking, or that's what you would ask when you were young? Go ahead, Dan. No, I wasn't. Maybe I was. Yeah, the question was, what are some of the questions you asked while you were young? Okay, Gary. Okay. That's a good question. And Dan, you probably mentioned, can you repeat your answer again? Maybe I went over it. Repeat what your answer, what were you saying? Yeah, that's Gary, you said that. Now, Dan, Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I just don't understand what you're saying.
I said repeat your answer, yeah. The one you gave me before.
What did I mean by my correct answer?
No, repeat it.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I think having godly parents and being taught God's word from youth all the way up.
Uh-huh. That is very important. That is the focus here. But my question was, what are some of the things we would ask as young? Okay, here's a young man, Charles. What is the main question in your life right now? People are already asking, how can I find a wife?
That's everybody else's question.
No, see, I'm not picking on you. When I was young, let me tell you now what. When I was young, the young people in that age, they ask, where should I go to college? What career should I choose? What's the Lord's will for my life? There are so many questions young people ask. That's what I'm trying to see. What are the questions you would ask? You were asking while you were young. Okay.
Before you knew the Lord, you asked questions, will I be wealthy? Will I have a good place to live? Or so on and so forth. But when you cut to know the Lord, maybe the questions you would ask, and some of us, a lot of people, weren't young when they come to know the Lord. They were old, so the questions they asked would be different. But when you ask, if you're young and you ask the questions and you're saved, you say, Lord, I know the question Mm-hmm. After I got saved, before that, that was not my question.
Okay.
Before I was married,
Yeah, that's what, you know, what I was getting to is there are so many questions. Being young and knowing the Lord, you come to a stage in life, you ask questions. Who should I marry? You know, where should I buy a house? What career should I choose? There are so many questions. We always we want to be in the will of God. As we mature, grow in the things of the Lord, that equation comes part of our all decision making. But there's so many questions. Now we are studying the Word of God. We are, this question is asked. We are kind of more focusing in relation to the things of the Lord. But everything, if governs by that, by the will of God, that is great. But usually, when we grow up, we have various questions in our life. You know what we do, but that is well and good. We should all ask those questions. You know, all those, you know, who should I date or who should I marry? What career should I choose? Where I should buy the house? Which church I should be part of? All those things are part of our existence here. But I wanted to make the emphasis and the focus that, but among all those questions, the first and the chiefest is this question. What is that question? It's this. How can a young man keep his way pure? That should be the greatest question, the number one question. That should be the chiefest question. I'm not disregarding all other questions. Those are part of our life. I ask those questions. I still ask some of those questions when you had to make a decision. But this should be the first and the chiefest. How can I keep my way pure? How can I live a clean life? So the answer is the second part of the first verse. It says, by keeping it according to your word. By guarding by keeping heed to your word. Guarding it according to your word. Now we'll come to the second part. Again, come back to the first part. Why is it young men? Why is it not old men? Or old women? Why is it asked of young men? How can a young man? Yeah, they are young. They are not matured. They have lack of knowledge and experience in the things of the Lord. We can say knowledge and experience that equals to wisdom. They don't have enough wisdom, and they are full of passion, subject to temptations. We were all young, we know of those days. And so young men are taken as a symbol. You know, it is applicable to all of us, because young men are more prone to temptations because they are full of passions and they are young. They are inexperienced, they are lack of wisdom and lack of immaturity. So in that, not only that, when you start young, Dan made the point, when you are young, if your parents instill the word of God in you, as you get older, you will not forget about it. Depart from it. Go ahead. That those who are, yeah, Roy. Yeah. Pardon me? Oh, okay. Yeah. So young, we are, and also, you know, the word of God, we know we are born again by the living word of God, right? First Peter chapter 1 says that. We are sanctified by the truth. John 17, I believe, verse 17. It says that thy word is truth, sanctify us with your truth. So the word of God is able to give us new birth. That means cleansing from the sin we are born with, and we are able to sanctify us. And transformation comes by the word of God. Romans chapter 2, you know, renew your mind through the word of God. Then we are perfected by the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, so that, you know, the word of God is, you know, God breathed, it is good for instruction, correction, and admonition, so that the man of God may be perfect, So we are perfected by the word of God. So we grow by the word of God, because the temptations are all around us. Worldliness is so attractive. Sin is pleasurable. The word of God very clearly says, do not love the world, neither things which are in the world. The things which are in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those are not of the Father, but of the world. And those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And James says, you adulterous people, don't you know that love of the world is enmity towards God? So we are told not to love the world, but don't we struggle with the world? There's always temptation towards, so we struggle with the world, and we struggle with sin, and we are told, how can a young man or a young woman or an old man, how can we keep our way pure? How can we keep our path clean? How can we keep, how can we live a clean life? First, we need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, and also by the word gives us new birth. Then we need to have a constant cleansing daily by the word of God. So it is by keeping it according to your word, taking heed to your word. Now, not only knowing the word, right, but observing it, following it, obeying it. See, I have a GPS in my car, right? And my phone, I have three GPS. I have a Google map, I have a Apple map, and I have Waze. Waze is a new app, made in Israel, I believe. It tells you, it gives you a little more shortcut accuracy, lots of feedback going on, even tell you where the police is. So Waze. So I have three GPS in my phone, and I have a GPS in my car. And sometimes I have the car one on, also sometimes I have a phone in case I get one. Sometimes my car won't take me around some places. Can get lost. But if, doesn't matter how many GPS I have, if I don't heed, pay attention to the instructions, where I'm going to end up. Right? So it is not the knowledge we have, it is heeding, observing, obeying the word of God. That is important. So the word of God is our GPS for our life, our chart for our life. We must be watchful and careful to observe and follow its directions. Must take heed to our daily life. In every facets of our life, we must take heed to the word of God. Did the word of God leave out any part of our life? No. Yeah, we are coming to that. We are determining day and night. Yeah, you take any part of it, how to raise children, how to have marriage, how to lead a home, and how to live personal life. Everything is in the word of God. It is sufficient for godliness and life. So we must take heed to the word of God. Before the word of God, we must consider our ways. We must examine our ways. And we must examine the word of God and see if we are living according to the word. If it is not, we must take heed to it and keep it and guard it or persevere in the word, according to the word. So the question is, how can a young man or a young woman or any man or any woman keep their way pure? Now, the general answer is given here: by keeping it according to your word. That is one answer covered. That is. Now the psalmist is going to give us steps how to reach, how to keep the word. All right? He's going to give a personal testimony. And he says that, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. So I call it commitment here. Commitment. With all my heart. What are some of the things we do with all our heart? With a total devotion. All with all our might, soul, heart, with every fiber of our being, we are totally devoted or committed to something. That is what your desire, you owe. That is the wholeheartedness. Yeah. Okay, that's great, commendable. That's good. I have a blessed wife. She's. But what are we committed to? Wholeheartedly. There are things in our life we are committed. We cannot say we are not. Our children. Right. Our children, our job, and different things in life, we give priority. But the word of God says, the psalmist says in his experience, he's given the first step towards heeding to the word of God, to keeping the word of God. He's saying that with all my heart I have sought to you. I call it a commitment to seek the Lord. Where do we seek the Lord? How can we seek the Lord? Can we find the Lord anywhere? Yeah, how do we find? Where do we find? In the chapel here? In his word, right? In his word, that's where we find. Yeah, he's everywhere. He's omnipresent, and he's everywhere. But we find him in his word. So those who are totally committed to seek him, they seek him in his word. So unless we don't read the word, how can we find him? Right? How can we find him? That's the question. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. So there's two principles there. There is a human commitment, a human desire, and also a divine enablement. He's praying, Lord, do not let me wander from your commandments. Give me the grace so I may not go astray from your word. So there is a commitment. Now the merging of our commitment and the Lord's empowerment brings holiness. And we have to have a commitment to the word of God. So do we have a commitment with a wholeheartedness, an intense desire for the word of God? All our affections engaged here. There are, in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not stand, not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So there is something he avoids, the blessed man, the happy man. We saw last week, who is the happy man? The blessed man is the one who follows the word of God. He has to say no to certain things when we have totally committed to the word of God. An intense desire. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer panteth over the water brooks, my soul panteth after you, O Lord. You know, just like a deer panting for the word, for the water. We have to pant. We have to have an intense desire for the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, as like a baby desiring the milk, we need to desire. We know how the babies desire the milk, right? They don't know the composition or the ingredient or the all that good things what is included in the milk, but it has an intense desire for the word, for the milk. That kind of desire we need. We need an intense desire for the word. It was last week, I remember, last Wednesday. Yeah. The night John Kinlow gave his testimony. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So, Thursday we were going to have them for lunch in our house. So, I was cleaning the house Wednesday. Then, I think after the meeting, probably I went to the gym. I don't know, I came back. Then I folded some sheets from the laundry. Then I put it in the closet. As I was doing that, I started sweating. Just all over my body, I was sweating. I was feeling kind of lighter. I thought maybe I'm dehydrated. It was not maybe 10 minutes I was sweating. So I went to the kitchen, opened the fridge. I was going to drink some water. Then Val made some lemonade for the kids, John Kinder's kids, homemade lemonade. So I usually don't like lemonade, sweet things, you know. But there was an intense desire for me at that time. I want something sweet. I don't know, I usually don't like sweet things, but there was a desire. So I opened that lemonade and I just started drinking that because I thought I was dehydrated. Then Val told me my sugar was down. That's what happened. So when my sugar was down, my body was craving for sugar. There was an intense desire for sugar. So Psalmist is saying that with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And there is a prayer connected with that. Then he says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Treasured, stored in my heart. Memorizing the word of God is very important in taking heed to the word. Why we should memorize the scripture? Why should we memorize the scripture? Yeah, it says, so that we may not sin against the Lord. Because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. When we face temptation, the Spirit of God can take the word which we memorized and use against the Satan or the temptation comes upon us. So many musicians memorize songs and music. Why? Because, you know, we can memorize. Comes from when we memorize, this comes from the heart. And Christ memorized the word of God. That's why he was able to use it when Satan tempted him. Three times he used from the word from Deuteronomy. And in times of sorrow, if we have memorized the word, it will give us encouragement. Hopelessness, it will give us encouragement. Time of discouragement. When we need to say a word of encouragement to others, we look for words. Oh, how can I encourage this brother or this sister is going through? We look for what that verse. So if you're memorized, we are stored in the word of God within us. We are able to encourage a brother or a sister, or maybe able to share the gospel if you memorize the scripture. And memorizing scriptures give deeper insight into the other passages in the Bible. You know, Joseph, who was in the brink of temptation, or, you know, when Potiphar's wife tempted him, he was able to say, how can I do this evil against God and sin against God? And he was able to run away because he knew the word of God. He knew the word of God. I was reading that we know this song. Save in the arms of Jesus, save in his gentle breast. Thereby his love overshadowed, sweetly my soul doth rest. Hark, 'tis a song of heaven, born in the sweetest voice, echoed by saints in spirit, making my heart rejoice. Who wrote that? Fanny Crosby. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Who wrote that? Fanny Crosby, right? She wrote this at the age of 8. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world content I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. See, she was born blind, not born. You know, she became blind when she was 6 weeks old because a wrong medication was administered in her eyes by a doctor. Her father died when she was a year old. Her grandmother raised her, and her grandmother introduced her to the Bible, and she began to devour the scriptures. By the time, she was a very young girl. It is said that that as a child, she could repeat from the memory Pentateuch, the Book of Ruth, many of the Psalms, Book of Proverbs, Song of Solomon, much of the New Testament that furnished the themes, inspiration, and diction for her imperishable gospel hymns. Where that hymns came from? Over 8,000 hymns full of scriptures, because she couldn't see. She had memorized the scriptures. And she was a treasure house of the Word of God. And from that flowed all those hymns. Can we memorize? Sometimes we think we cannot memorize. We are too old, we cannot remember. But we can if it comes by practice, right? We know our name, right? We know our house number, our address, our children's name, our grandchildren's name. We know most of each other's names. That all memorized. It comes by practice. We need to have a habit of memorizing the Word of God. Not only that, the psalmist says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." We need to study the word. He says, "Blessed, the lips which bless the Lord." He's praying that the Lord, with the same lips, "Lord, teach me," is willing to study the word. A commitment to study the word. Martin Luther said, "I study the Bible as I gather apples. First I shake the whole tree, that the ripest may fall. Then I shake the limb. And when I have shaken the limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under each leaf." That's how Martin Luther, 1483 to 1546. You know, he's the reformer. He turned that world upside down when he lived, because that's how you study the word. It takes time. We need to have a place and a space and a time to study the word. John MacArthur, I was reading in 2003, he said 35 years, he put 50,000 hours in studying the word. I calculated that comes about 4 hours a day. That was 14 years ago. That's why he's a giant in the Word of God. And everybody loves his teaching. And we can study the Word. We don't have to be John MacArthur to study the Word. The Word of God is given for us to understand. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. But we have to have a commitment to study the Word of God. "With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth." Then we need to recite, proclaim, declare the word. "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies." The testimony is the witness to the Lord, who he is, what he has done, what he is yet to do, what are his promises. His testimony is testimony to the Lord himself, his person and his work. And he says, "As much as in all riches," we will rejoice if we have some riches, right? Then "I will meditate on your precepts. I regard your ways." Then meditating the word. What is it meditating the word means? It is chewing it over, ruminating, as a cow bring back the curd and chew it over, bring it back. Chew it over in our mind, the word of God. Bring it back. Think about it. Look at it from a different angle. Think about what that means. No, just like Jeremy mentioned last week, a love letter. If you get a love letter from your loved one, you turn every word, you look from a different angle to see what that means. Meditating. When the cow chew that curd over, it brings back and chew it again, then digest it, become every fiber, part of its skin, its muscles, its bone. That means that has to go into our mind over and over, over, over. Then it becomes part of our being. Our habit is formed by it. Our thinking is controlled by it. Our mind is shaped by it. Our focus is shaped by it. And our personality is changed by that word. Our inner man is completely changed by meditating upon the word of God. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Delight means giving joy. So the steps, I put it this way. Okay, let me read that, then I'll close it. Oh, where is it? Okay, this is how, rephrase it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed to the word of God. Now, what are the steps of taking heed? This is, we need to have a commitment to read the word. That is seeking the Lord with all our heart. Then we have to pray for the grace so that we will not stray away or wander from the word. Then we need to memorize the word. And we need to study the word. We need to recite the word or proclaim the word. We need to rejoice in the word. Then we need to meditate the word. Then we need to delight in the word. And we need to remember the word. And we need to, all for the purpose of what? To apply it. Yeah. So, you know, not all this done so it is applied in our lives. So that is how we keep our way pure. When we follow those steps, taking heed, how we take heed is given those steps. When we do that, we can keep our way pure in the sight of the Lord. And that is our desire, and that is what I want to motivate each one of us tonight to read the word. We have God's word. How much time we spend to read the word. We claim we are the people of the word of God. Have we read the Bible? How many of us have read the Bible at least once? We have to make a commitment to read the word. That's how we seek the Lord. Then memorize it. At least read. Then memorize it. Try to memorize some verses here and there. Then study. Then declare it. Then we need to rejoice in it because it is the word of God. And we need to meditate. Look from various angles. Then observe, apply to our lives, and keep remembering what the Lord taught us. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing upon us, upon your study, upon your word. Help us to be people of the word, changed by the word, so that we may live for your glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.